Amen.
Today's Daf Metzia is Vav. We are starting on the very bottom of Hamid Beis. Not very bottom, I take it back. We're going to be starting with the words Teda. Sorry, in the middle of Hamid Beis. And our discussion about Metzia is the following. In other words, we have a conflict, and how do we do conflict resolution? I know it sounds very familiar, by the way. It's a pretty common theme throughout the Babas, Bab Metzia, and for the last almost 4 months, Baba Kama. But regardless, however, in other words, in the beginning of Bab Metzia, we are like really in the sugya of conflict resolution, and the conflict over here is so simple, straightforward, and that is, I got two people holding onto a talus each one, claiming it's their talus. So what do we do? So the Mishnah gives us very clear instructions of what you do. You write, you have a holding and I have a holding. And over here, holdings over here, not in the financial sense of, you know, holdings, but in the financial and real sense of I'm physically holding the item. So what do we do? So we all know, because this is now day number six, well, really day number five, but we all know what to do, and that is Chokin B'Shvua. And that is you divide. Each one's going to make a Shvua. Yesterday we talked about the formulation of the Shvua. How exactly is the Shvua going to be articulated? It gets a little tricky. You're claiming the whole thing. You're only going to get out half. So what exactly is the Shvua going to be formulated? Great. That we did yesterday. And now the Gemara is just trying to wrap its head around the following. And that is that, wait 1 second. We have suspicions about these people over here that what they're doing is that they're taking something that may not be theirs. Oh, okay, good. So we'll split it. Okay, fine. And then we're going to have to make a Shvua, meaning you do that. You're gonna ask somebody to make a shvua who we're a little bit suspicious about. How do we do that? And the first thing that we're going to be uncovering this morning is that if somebody's chashud al mamona, somebody's suspected over money for whatever reason, we're going to go over so many different reasons. So are we going to ask such an individual to make a shvua? Meaning, can we trust the fact that he can be honest with a shvua? Now, spoiler alert: the answer is going to be yes. Okay. That's going to be the clear conclusion of the Gemara, but it'll take a couple minutes for the Gemara to get that point. Teda. In fact, that's where we're going to be starting this morning. So we're in Hamud Beis, and we're about halfway down in the Amud. So Teda, the Gemara says, you should know, Damar Rav Adin Barav and Amar Rav Chista Kofer B'Milva. I read this yesterday, but that's fine. Ha Kofer B'Milva Kashal Eidus, Bibi Kadim Pasal Eidus. You're Kofer B'Milva. Somebody goes over to you and says to you, hey, where's my money? I lent you money. And you go into full denial mode. And meanwhile, there's no reason why you should be denying it. You, in fact, owe the money. So, and it's discovered that you went into full denial mode and you lied. So now, can you be an aide? The answer is sure. Why not? What do you mean, why not? I can think of really good reasons why it is that you shouldn't be an aide, and that is that you lied. And you had no hesitation whatsoever. But the Gemara understands, and Rashi explains this. We've done this before. We did this at the end of Baba Kama as well. Rashi explains, no, when you're kofer b'milva, it is justifiable. In other words, sorry, I do want to take that back. It's not justifiable. In other words, you should be honest under any and all circumstances. Okay, that part's not, but there is rationalization, and that is that you have every intention of paying back the loan. It's just right now you don't have the money. And remember, as we pointed out, I said this at the end of yesterday's daf. When you're borrowing money, you're obviously borrowing money because you want to spend the money. You need the money, so it's understood. It's built in. It's baked into every loan. And that is that you're taking the money, you're using the money. And what you're going to do is you're going to replace it with other money. So it takes time to replace. I need to get my hands on other monies. However you're going to do it. So the kfira, so the denial is just simply a delay tactic. That's all it is. Now the Gemara says, good. So if you're kofer b'milva, so you're not necessarily a bad person. And you're not chashud al-mamon. Pikadon is another story. And we'll talk more about the story of Pikadon in just a moment. But right now, the Gemara is trying to argue the person who is denying a loan is not chashud al mamon. So the Gemara says, "Ela had nirami barchama arba shomrim tzrichin kfir b'mixas v'hoda b'mixas shomer chinam shawal no se sacher socher neima migu de chashud mamon chashud shvuasa." So the Gemara says, "What about our shomer? So our shomer, so he's got to be kofer b'mixas, moda b'mixas." We did this at the end of Baba Kama as well, and for our purposes right now, not going to go through the details regarding how exactly that looks practically. The point is, and it's just I'm just going to really, really distill. The point is that right now you are asked to hold an item and you cannot produce it, and so now we're going to ask you to make some shvuas. Now you're going to ask you to make some shvuas. Now wait 1 second. Meaning, why can't you produce the item right now? What did you do with the item? So in other words, you're under suspicion, and yet, shvua. So the Gemara says, "Hasam nami shemuta kamishtam mitzaver mishkachan alei ganav v'tafsin alei inami mishkachan alei ba'agam amaisin alei." So the Gemara says, "Don't jump to conclusions." Meaning, maybe we don't need to suspect him. Maybe once again, it's a stall tactic. Now you're stalling by pikadon. Now we get to the other side of the story. So the Gemara says, "No, stalling by pikadon, I can understand." In other words, right now the item was stolen from him. So he's on the phone with you. "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have it." And meanwhile, the thought process is, I feel terrible. The item was stolen from me. I didn't watch it carefully enough. You know what? Give me a couple days. I'm gonna go after the ganav. I'm gonna get it back. Alternatively, the item right now is somewhere in the swamp. He lost it, and he feels terrible. And right now, his denial is just simply a cover up. Because give him a couple more days. Give me a little more time. I'm going to go back and I'm going to find that item. So once again, the Gemara is trying to argue that these are not situations in which the person's chashad al-mamon. We don't really suspect him. So yachia kofer pikadam, my apostle eidus, name is shemut kamishamid. So the Gemara says, "Wait one second. Now I'm confused because you just told me even by pikadon it could be a stall tactic." So just 2 minutes earlier, right? Go back to the tape. I know I sound old when I say that. I'm kind of proud of it. So play the tape back of 2 minutes ago, where we just said that if you're kofer b'kadon, you're pasul eidus. What do you mean? Why are you pasul eidus? Meaning we can give a lovely explanation. He's not really lying. It's just a stall tactic. So the Gemara says, "Am I pasul eidus? Name is shemut kamishtamit v'savra ad bechashno umishkachan alei. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to find it." So, kiyam in the kofar bikad and pasal aid, those kigon dasus adivasu dube, da yishaita yisele bikad nebebese, vahavayadi inamidavan akalabiade. So the Gemara says, "Well, what we learned earlier about kofar bikadon and your pasal aidus, that is speaking specifically about where the aidim come into the basin and say, 'I know he denied having the item, we saw him have the item.'" In other words, he is just simply a liar. In other words, it's not a stall tactic, it's not a delay tactic. He was looking to abscond with the item. Period. Okay. Under those circumstances, admittedly, those are limited circumstances. Under those circumstances, the kofar pikadon is going to be pasul eidus. Ella, hadamar of huna, the Gemara says, okay, but we're not done. In other words, again, this idea where you're chashad al mamon, are we going to allow you to make a shvua? So right now, at this point, if we were to stop, obviously we're not. If we were to stop in the Gemara right now, we would think that the Gemara's position is that as long as it's justifiable, as long as there's a reason why it is you're denying, so now we can make a shvua. But if we really suspect that you're lying and you're chashal mamon, we're not going to allow a shvua. The Gemara says, I'm going to push back on that point. We're talking right now about a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam, and their taina is ones. Circumstances that were well beyond my control. And so what we do is mashbino so shvur sheina bereshusa. Now, what he would like to do is the following, and that is that, look, I really am exempt. I'm going to pay for the item. Okay. That's right now his strategy. In other words, for whatever, he has a legitimate exemption, an ones, right, a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar are going to be pater by ones. But right now he feels that, whatever, I could submit an exemption, I'm going to pay for it. So what happens is that they bring him to Beis Din and he's still going to make a shvua. Really? What kind of shvua is he going to make? Ain't a bereshuso. Where the shvua is that's not his possession. Meaning, here's what we suspect. What we suspect is that he fell in love with the item. And what he's going to tell the owner is that, look, I'm not a particularly bad guy. In fact, I tried dutifully to watch the item. Ones. Circumstances beyond my control. But what I'll do is I'll pay for it. All that was just a cover-up because really what he wanted to do is he wanted to buy the item. Oh. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to have him do is make a shvua, ain't a bereshuso. Now this seems to be a slam dunk. Meaning, are we suspicious of him right now? That's the only reason why we're having him make a shvua. And yet, we're going to have him make a shvua. So the Gemara says, Asanami, Morav Amar Demeka Yavinale. So the Gemara says, well, he's not a bad guy. In other words, he's not chashal mamon. Because in his mind, what he's thinking is, I'm paying for it. Meaning, okay, it's a little bit underhanded. But I'm paying for it. So in his mind, he doesn't think of himself as a ganav. So
what's the chashal mamon? What,
Chasha Mamona is right now. His taina is ones.
Right, but what does it make closer to Alamayim?
And right now we're having him come to court and say, swear to us, it's not in your possession.
Okay.
So he's chashan.
On the
pikadon, on the item that he was entrusted to watch,
right.
He's chashan. Okay. So Amalei Rav Acham Adiftel Ravina v'Hakavar Olav Lo Sachba. So the Gemara says, wait one second. So he fell in love with this item, an item that doesn't belong to him. Isn't that one of the Aseres HaDibros? Yeah, the answer is yes. Rhetorical question. Sure it is. It's called Lo Sachmod. And so under those circumstances, so you're trying to argue that he is not in violation of an Isser Mammon? He for sure is in violation of Isser Mammon. Even if he ends up paying for it, isn't there an Isser in the Torah of Lo Sachmod, which he currently is violating right now? So the Gemara says, Lo Sachmod le'inshi below dami mashmalu. So the Gemara says, well, what people think is that when the Isser of Lo Sachmod, that's below dami. That's when people don't pay for it. But if people pay for it, you know what people think? People think that if people pay for it, they're non-violation Lo Sachmod. Now, how about an ambiguous Gemara that we just got done reading? Talk about ambiguity. Here's what people think. Wouldn't it be more important for us to know what's actually correct and not correct? Meaning, the Gemara says, le'inshi. You know, when people talk about Lo Sachmod, here's what people are saying. Okay. I'm very happy. In other words, as far as halacha is concerned, halacha is generally not within the realm of popular opinion or public opinion. Meaning, just tell me, is it Lo Sachmod or is it not Lo Sachmod? As you can imagine, the Rishonim heavily debate this very question. In other words, if I look at somebody's item, really like it, and convince them to sell it to me, so was that a violation of Lo Sachmod, yes or no? The Rishonim debate this issue. Over here in the notes, he quotes Tosafim throughout Shas. There's a Tosafim here, there's a Tosafim Sanhedrin. He also quotes a Tosafim Baba Kama. Okay, it is a lengthy discussion, a really interesting discussion, whether or not one violates Lo Sachmod. So the Gemara says, but as far as our sugya is concerned, look, popular opinion, who cares about popular opinion? We're learning halacha, we're learning Torah right now. It matters in our sugya. Why? Because again, the question is he chashan al mammon? Is he somebody who is a thief in his mind? And right now the Gemara is saying, no, not in his mind, he's not a thief. Whether he is or isn't, obviously it's critical, obviously it's important. But we're inviting him into the basin in order to make a shvua. In his mind, is he a thief? What the Gemara is proposing right now is no. In his mind, he's not a thief. The Ella, we're on the top of Avam and Aleph. The Ella Hadamar of Nachman Shmuel Shvuas Heses. V'neim Amigu Dechash Mamon Chash Shvuasa. We're gonna end up checkmating. You could see the sugya heading in that direction. All we're doing now is just one case after another case, one halacha after another halacha. We're gonna end up checkmating. So here we're very close to checkmate, and that is that the halacha of Rav Nachman. We all know the halacha of Rav Nachman because we just saw in yesterday's daf, and that is kofar bakol, a full denial. From the Torah standpoint, if I go into full denial mode, do I have to make a shua? The answer is no. Only mode de b'mitzvahs do I have to make a shua, but not kofar bakol. And meanwhile, what Rav Nachman introduced into the world, and remember yesterday I went back and forth on whether it was Rav Nachman who actually did it, but I was very clear yesterday, I'd like to be clear again today, this shua's hesis is not to be found in a Mishnah. The Mishnayos never bring down Shavuos Heses. It was introduced by the Amoraim, specifically Rav Nachman. Okay. I think Rav Nachman was the one who introduced it, but who knows if I'm right. Regardless, the point is that somebody now is in full denial mode, so we're going to bring him to Basim to make a Shavuah. That is a Shavuos Heses. Now, everyone follow, by the way? I say, you owe me. He says, I owe you nothing. We're going to court. He's going to make a Shavuah. Is he Chashad al Mammon? Well, that's the only reason why we brought him to court. Sure, the answer is sure. The Vistu Hadidni Rabbi Chia. But before we conclude, meaning already we can conclude, but in other words, I know in chess there's only one time checkmate. Over here, let's go through two checkmates. So Hadidni Rabbi Chia, Shneim Nishbaim Benotlin, Mi Baal Abayis. So the case of the Chenvani, we've gone over this case already a couple times here in our Masechta. Let's do it again. And that is that my employees, so what I do is I ask somebody to front the money for me. And then what I'm going to, and obviously I'm going to reimburse you. Okay, good. Cash advance. But not the modern cash advance, but in other words, the old cash advance. I'm not, no interest in the old cash advance. So you'll front the money for me and I'll go ahead and I'll reimburse you. Great. Now what happens is that I have the following problem. the employees come over to me and they say, we never got paid. And my friend who advanced said, I paid them. It's called the problem. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that we're all going to go to court together. Both of them are going to make a shua, and I'm going to end up paying both of them. Okay. So in other words, instead of now my obligation being X, now my obligation is 2X. We've gone over this before. We've covered this before. Now over here, you know somebody's lying. It has to be. In other words, I only owe X, and meanwhile I'm paying out of my pocket 2X. Right? I'm paying a liar. Somebody's lying. Okay, good. And we're going to bring them both to court, and they're both going to make a shvuah. Okay. And earlier in the Masechta we explained, I mean, it is difficult to understand why in the world do I have to pay both of them when one of them is lying. That's challenging. But the Gemara addressed that earlier. The Gemara gave an answer earlier. Our only point right now is that somebody is absolutely suspected of lying. And yet, they're going to go into court and make a shvuah. So, Neema, Migu Dechasha, Mamun Dechasha, Shvuasa. So, Visu, and the Gemara says, and now, you ready for a third checkmate? Why not? So, Hadam, Rav Sheshe, Shal Shvuas, Mashmino, So Shvuas, Shalom, Pashati, Ba Shvuas, Shalom, Shalachti, Bo Yad, Shvuas, Shein, Ebiru, Shusi. So, you know, we have this guy coming in, and the Shomer coming in and making not one, not two, but three different shvuas, three separate shvuas. Of the one shvuas that he's making, so you know what the shvuah is going to sound like? You don't have to guess. We just saw it together. One of the shvuas is lo shalachti bo yad. You know, I didn't misappropriate. You asked me to watch the item. I'm not a shoel. I'm not borrowing it. I had no right to use it, and I used it. I swear that didn't happen. And Rashi over here points out that if you're a shomer chinam or a shomer sacher, but you have no rights to use it, and you use it, you're a gazan. And you be chai venonis. Right, Rashi right over here. So, but the point of the Gemara is that we're asking him to make that shvua. Now, obviously, that shvua is because he's under suspicion. So, name of the chasha mamon chasha shvuasa ala lo armin amigu the chasha mamon chasha shvuasa. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're gonna do now is that we're gonna rethink everything, and now conclusion. A person may be suspected of having stolen, embezzled. However, whatever language you want to use, a person can be chasha mamona. And still we're going to invite him to the court and make a shvua. And how does that work? I'll tell you how it works. Because when it comes to people, when it comes to money, people aren't so frum. Okay? It's a reality of life. It's just, the Gemara over here, right, the Gemara over here is really insightful in terms of understanding people. Okay, so people aren't so frum when it comes to money. But when we're now going to hold a Sefer Torah and make a shvua in the courtroom in front of Dayanim, right? You're using Shem Hashem. Now I'm dramatizing a little bit, but you understand. A shvua? No. In other words, I'm not gonna make a shvua and swear to something that isn't true. Oh, the money that I actually stole? But a shvua? No. So again, it's a profound psychology, and just in terms of how people think, people are looser with money, but much tighter when it comes to making a shvua. Good.
Has the same pomp and circumstances.
Correct. David read my mind. In other words, because I was talking about Lakita Sefer Torah, holding a Sefer Torah, using Shem Hashem, which would be true by Shvua Daraisa, and it wouldn't be true by Shvua Darabanan. So that's my hesitation. David picked up on that right away. In other words, the Shvua says this is strictly Shvua Darabanan. It wouldn't be going through that. But presumably, the Gemara's point is still going to be the same.
Is that the reason? I mean, that's the premise between the two cases, this and Shem Hashem, that they're both definitely going to be a liar.
There is a possibility. Your point is good. There is a possibility. The Gemara said this earlier. There's a possibility that they both grabbed it at the same time. There's a chance, at least a chance, that the, you know. But even as such,
but
though,
they're both saying it's all mine.
Thank you. Even as such, though, their claim that the whole thing belongs to me then would be an exaggeration. Correct.
So the point is.
Correct. The shvuah is there to, the Gemara already said, but in the case of Shleim Ochzim, the shvuah is there so that people don't get overly aggressive, right? You take a shirt. Oh, I really like that shirt. That's a nice shirt. I put my hand on it. I grab it. Now, Alan, I take my life into my own hands if that were you. But you understand. In other words, if people want to get overly aggressive, and then we'll go to court, and then we'll split it. And in other words, so basically, it's a check on people's behavior. Right, don't do that because we're going to go to court and you're going to make a shvua, and you know what that means. It means you're going to make a shvua, and as we just learned in the Gemara right now, people are scared of shvuas. Okay.
This is
No. The shol shvuas is on a regular shomer. In other words, by a regular shomer sum, every time now he failed to produce the item that I entrusted with him, we're going to go to court and he's going to make three shvuos. And one of those shvuos is shlosh shalachti bal yad.
That could be a
shvuah deraisa. That is a shvuah, absolutely. But the point is that he's chashed al mamona, and yet he's making a shvuah. Okay, good. Checkmate. Abai amar chayshin and shem amav yeshani yesh lo alav. Okay. Now, this next little sequence of Gemara over here, it sounds a little bit like Abai is pushing back. Even though, right, I sounded pretty conclusive that this is the end of the discussion. There's a tail to this discussion. The tail is Abaye. Now, what Abaye is going to try to argue is that, you know, I know we're looking at really, really aggressive behavior, and I'm also admitting that, you know, we could suspect him of money. Abaye says, maybe not. Maybe the person over here is really just trying to get back what's rightfully his. Meaning, it could very well be that the shomer, grabber, whatever, whoever is right now being a little bit aggressive, really the truth of the matter is that he already is owed money by this guy. I'm going to grab. And do any of the above. And maybe what we are looking at over here is milva yishana yesh lo alav. Maybe it's an old loan that he's just trying to collect. So yahachi nishkol b'lo shvua. So the Gemara says old loan, and the guy's not paying. So you know what you do when somebody owes you money? You take it. Mm-hmm. right? In other words, right, correct. In other words, if he owes you money, so you take it. So what do you mean we're worried about it? No, don't worry about it. That's the correct thing to do, right? Somebody owes you money. You take the money. So So the Gemara says, okay. So just to tweak Abaye a little bit, it's not that you know that somebody owes you money. You're like have this memory of, oh, I think he owes me money. I'm not sure. I'll grab something from his and then we'll figure it out. I admit it's not a great strategy. It doesn't sound like a great game plan. But okay. But maybe that's what's going on in his mind. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if he's ready to grab money that may or may not be his, so you're now going to really think that he's going to go to court and he'll be honest about the shvua? So Amar Rav Sheshe is bered de ravidi, parshe inshi, misafik shvua, velo parshe inshi, misafik mamona. My time, mamon isa bechazara, shvua leisa bechazara. So the Gemara says basically, yeah, that's correct. In other words, the money may or may not be mine. I'll grab it. Let's see how this shakes out. And then, but when push comes to shove and I'm going to go to court and I'm going to have to make a shvua, I'm going to, right, correct. And the difference is, as the Gemara just articulated, and that is that when it comes to money, look, I took the money, it may or may not be mine. Okay, and again, when we figure it out, so if it's not mine, I'll give it back to him. Like, people think like that. But when it comes to a shvua, you can't take back the shvua. We went to court and I swore that the item is mine. That's something you can't take back. You just made a false shvua. So again, it's a Gemara expressing another, just in another way, people get much more serious about shvua than they do about money. Right. Again, if it's not his and he's stealing it, he's chasha mamon. And again, just see above. What the Gemara is trying to do just for a moment. What the Gemara is trying to do now here for just a moment is I'm going to provide maybe one more rationalization of why he thinks he's right. But the Gemara, when ultimately all said and done, see above. And again, whether Abaye is arguing with all the above or maybe he's just supplementing. Okay. In the notes, he quotes the Ramban. Anyway, we go on. By Rabbi Zera, Takfa Echa Befaneinu Mahu. Okay. You have two people holding on to a talis, and now one of them decides that, you know what? I'm stronger than him. Look at him, look at me. Right? He's physically grabbing, I'm physically grabbing. But wait a second. Look at me and look at him, and my grip is better. Not only is my grip better, and you just pull on it. So the Gemara says, now, if he's quiet, meaning the person who was just grabbed from, so isn't that basically just an admission? So if he's quiet, shtika goda. And if he's screaming, so the Gemara says, okay, so now, in other words, we're not going to award the person who's more aggressive and stronger just because he's stronger, meaning if the two of them were holding on to it, and now they're coming to court, and one of them just simply pulls, and the other one screams, okay, like that, in other words, that's right now the best thing he could do to make the claim that the item is still his. So lo tzricha deshasik mikar v'hadar tzavach. So the Gemara says, here's what happened. We're in court, and we're all both holding on to the item, and now I give it a great tug. And I just rip it right out of his hands. His first reaction, silence. Followed then with
anger.
Okay, so now what we're left to do, this is classic Gemara, and that is that we're now trying to interpret like what just happened over here. So let's assume right now it's in court. It's a very fair question. Let's assume it's in court. So mine. So the Gemara says, here's our two possible interpretations. One is that it's just simply an admission. The fact that he cried out afterwards is like, second thoughts, regrets. But in other words, the initial reaction is really the one that we're focusing on. It's an admission. The alternative interpretation is that no, the reason why he was quiet is because right now we're in the courtroom. There are the judges over there. Three very saintly men with white beards. They're not gonna just watch him grab it away from me, yank it out of my hands. But then he realizes that they're not doing anything. So now he's screaming. Okay. So again, the double reaction of silence followed them by screaming is open to interpretation. Rav Nachman Tashma Bemed Varmamurm Shashem Adukim Ba. So over here, Rav Nachman says, I think I know the answer based on a braisa. When is it true that we're going to be Chokim B'Shvua? That's when they're both holding on to it. Ava Haisa Talas Yotzi Mitachas Yado Shal Achan Mehem Motzi Mechaver Ola V'Raya. If one person's holding on to it, so then he's the owner. So the Gemara says, Echi Dami Neima Kediktani. Now, what's happening over here? If what you're proposing is that the braisa actually reads, like read it literally. Like one person's holding and the other one is not holding it. The Gemara says, what? Pshita. That's obvious. So Elo Shetakva Echa Bifaneinu. What must be happening over here is that we're going into court and one of them, they're both holding it while walking into court, and then the other one just, one of the two now just a good tug and strips it out of the other person. So and the braisa is saying now hamotzi mechaver la varaya. Okay, so right, that's what's going on in the braisa. Again, the braisa says none of that, but again, the simple and literal interpretation of the braisa is too obvious. The braisa has got to be teaching us some novel idea. Lo, the Gemara says no, that's not the right interpretation. So the Gemara says the braisa is talking about the following scenario, and that is that we both go into court, both holding on to the item. And the court says, divide it, plugu, divide it. Obviously with a shvua. V'nafku. Okay, now, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the story is that they exit the Beis Din. V'adu'asu kitafes lechad minayu. And now, what's happening now in chapter 2 is that we're back in the courtroom and one of them is holding it. And the other one's like, I know you rule that we should split it. He's ignoring you. He just took it. So, hi, Amar, do you lay... Now, the one who's currently holding it says, well, you know, when we left the courtroom, he finally admitted, you know what? Change of heart. In other words, I know it's yours. And he admitted that it was mine. And v'hai amar b'dmei agarti ni'alei. And the person right now not holding the item says, no. When we left the courtroom, all right, I assumed that half of it was mine. And we agree that I'm going to rent you my half. That's what happened. So ad hashta damrin, I'm sorry, damrin alei. Now we say to the person who currently is not holding it, that, well, we can't accept your story. Your story is ridiculous. Well, that's ridiculous. Meaning, in chapter 1, the first time you came to the court, you were accusing him of stealing something that belonged to you. And now, as he's holding the item now, you're making the claim, well, we agreed that we're gonna rent out my half. In other words, you went from accusing him of being a gazlan to now an agreement, a rental agreement, the whole story doesn't work. And as a result of that, we're not going to believe him in that second chapter. And that's why we're going to award the other person the item. Ebay same kidiktani.
Didn't he already make a shvua?
Right. In other words, the Beis Din told him to divide it. And then they made a shvua. And then after having left, so now they come back to court because he's not splitting it with me.
So one of them for sure is lying, and
Okay, good, good, good. That good. That's what the Bryce is dealing with. Ebay, same with the Gemara says, or I'll tell you what the Bryce is dealing with, and that is Kediktani. The Gemara says another way to explain the Bryce is the following, and that is that one's holding it, and the other one has got like the gentlest handle on the other side. Sruche, sruche. I'd love to give you a visualization of what that looks like. I'm not sure. Right? The Gemara comes without pictures. So over here, in other words, but gentle. It's really gentle. One's like got a real good grip on it, and the other one's gently holding it. Now I know Shita Simchas, which we talked about in day one of the Masechta. And that is that when I have money that's up, or that's open to dispute, so we're going to divide it, period. No Shvuas, we're just going to divide it. Even he would say over here that this is not a case. It's not even something to litigate over. So Modev is Simchas to Sircha Lav Klumin. Simchas would agree over here that if Sircha, if somebody's got like a gentle hand on the other side of it, and not a firm grip, so Simchas would say that's lav klumhi, that's nothing. Okay, fine. And that's what the Bryce is teaching us, that that one is really holding on tight, and the other one has got a sircha, got this loose hold on it. The loose hold is halachically inconsequential. Okay, adkan. That takes us not to the end of today's daf, but the first half of today's daf. Okay, in which we have so far in part one of today's daf, vav amin alf and vav mitzia. So we have discussed and concluded that even though somebody's suspected of money, we're going to invite him into Beis Din and make a shvua. Chashal mamona is enu chashal al shvua. And again, the psychological insight of when it comes to money, you know, people are a little bit less from, but when it comes to shvuas, people are more from. That was point number one. And then point number two is a series of questions of what happens where the two are holding and one now just simply tugs on it, takes it, is it become his now? What exactly the circumstances were? And that was part two of the Amud Aleph. Okay. And now what we're going to be doing for the remainder of today's daf is we're going to tackle a pretty challenging sugya, and it's perhaps one of the more popular sugyas in Shas. Imtim Salomar. I know it's a funny way to start a discussion, Imtim Salomar. Okay? Usually that is a continuation of the previous discussion. It is a continuation of previous discussion, but really, it's a new discussion. We're opening up a new discussion. Im Tim Salamor and Vavam and Alfur, right at the bottom of the Amud. Okay. First wide line, five from the bottom. Okay. How's my counting? Terrible. Six from the bottom. Im Tim Salamor, Takfa Echabifanenu Motzino Samiyado. So, let's say as follows. Takfa Echabifanenu Motzino Samiyado. That if a person physically grabs it, two are holding on, one grabs it, And what we say to him is the following, and that is no good. And we're going to just simply, we're going to do what we originally did, which is divide the two. So hikdishu ena mukdeshes. So that means to say that if the person now wants to be makdeshit, ena mukdeshet, it does not belong to hekdesh. Okay, good. In other words, at most he only gets half of it, not more than half of it, And so he can't be makdish the other half. Okay, good. However, im tim salama takfecha befaneinu mitzino samiyado, hekdesh below tkifa mahu. Let's say, two people holding onto a talus. Now, if you were to really grab onto it strong, you'd be able to keep the whole thing. If we're gonna side with that position, again, it's a machlokus, but for the remainder of today's daf, let's assume that grabbing it would allow it to become yours. Let's assume that. Instead of grabbing it, what do? One of the holders of the item, you're makdish the entire talus. Does it now belong to Hekdesh?
Is it his? Might be makdish.
And the question is, exactly as Ben just said, is it his in order to be makdish it? In other words, you have at least a chance of grabbing it in total and now making it yours. So is being makdish it tantamount to going ahead and pulling on the item? Now, being makdish it, yeah. Because hekdesh operates in an unusual way. In other words, how do you transfer to hekdesh? So you transfer the hekdesh verbally, right? And no other kinyan does this work. In other words, by all other kinyanim, as we've discussed time and again, in kedushin, also back in Baba Kama, and Bam Mitzia, we're going to be discussing this also in detail. And that is that to make a kinyan, you have to do some sort of physical action. Mishicha, misira. right, Hagbah, the Kesef. There has to be some sort of concretization that I now acquire the item. But when it comes to Hekdesh, so Amira, all you need to do is make a verbal declaration. And now Kinyan has been done. So what the Gemara now wants to know is that if my grabbing the item allows for me to make full Kinyan, so would Hekdesh, me being Makdish the item, would that be the same? So Mahu, Amira Lagavor, Kimisira Solahejodame. So we know how Kinyan worked when it comes to Hekdesh, and that is Amira. All you need to is Amira. Amira is Mesira when it comes to Hekdesh. So now, Kaman de Takfa Dami. So that's tantamount to grabbing. The alternative is, no, it's not the same. It's not the same. In other words, in order to be Makdish something, you have to be both owner and possessor. This is a point that we repeat throughout Shas. To be Makdish something, you have to both be the owner and the current possessor. And over here, it's true. You could grab it, but right now, currently, you didn't. And right now, you do not have the threshold, the proper prerequisites in order to be Makdish it. To be Makdish it, you have to both be, you have to be a Baladavar, and it has to be Rishoso. And currently, right now, it's not Rishoso. So, Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's consider the following. So everyone understand now what we are discussing. It's a really, really subtle discussion. And actually, the case that we're opening with over here on the Amud Beis is going to be extraordinarily practical, but we're having the following subtle discussion, and that is that my ability to own something, meaning currently I don't own it. I own half of it. I have a hand on it. I own half of it. But the fact that I could grab it, pull it away from him, and make it mine. So now, and if we assume that that's correct, and again, that's open to two sides, but if we assume that that's correct, so instead of grabbing it, I'm makdish it. Same or not the same? So the Gemara says, well, look, consider the following. Hahi Masusa, there was a bathhouse, Dave Masule Beitre. Okay, the owner of this bathhouse. Okay, we're in court right now. Two people are arguing in terms of who the rightful owner is of this bathhouse. Haimar Didihu, Vaimar Didihu. Okay, it seems to be a really sophisticated debate over here. One says it's mine, and the other one says it's mine. It must be more complicated than that. Okay, but right now, we'll just put the complications aside. For whatever reason, each one of them is making a claim that belongs to them. So, kamchad minayu akdeshe. So now, one person is makdish the bathhouse. That bathhouse now belongs to Hekdesh. So, parshi minei rev chanani vervoshe v'kula rabbanan. Okay, so now, does this bathhouse now belong to Hekdesh? If it belongs to Hekdesh, obviously, so you and I are not allowed to get benefit from it. There were a collection of rabbis who wouldn't go to the bathhouse for fear and concern that the bathhouse actually belongs to Hekdesh. Okay, so and do me a favor. The next time that you're by Rav Chista, so Rav Chista happens to be in Kafre, so ask him what the halacha is over here. So in other words, this bathhouse over here, if you want, just to see it clearly, it is tantamount to two people holding onto an item, and now one of them gets aggressive, doesn't pull on the item. Now over here we're talking about a bathhouse. It's karka. It's not going anywhere. But in other words, but the point is that it's under dispute between these two people, and then one of the disputants is makdish the whole bathhouse. So, does this bathhouse now belong to Hekdesh? Again, is Makdish tantamount to grabbing the whole thing away from him? So the Gemara says, good. So they go to now, they go to Rav Chista, Kiasa. So they got to, Rav Chista. So Lusura, Amalei Rav Amnuna, Masisanhi. So they didn't get all the way to Kafri. They got part way. They got to Sura. And it happens to be that they met with Rav Hamnuna. And Rav Hamnuna says, look, I think the answer is so obvious. It's a Mishnah in Taharos. Okay, we don't need to be impressed with the Amorim. Obviously, we do, but I'm saying the fact that he's using a Mishnah in Taharos, just their command of Mishnayos, a Mishnah in Taharos to litigate and to help clarify an issue that has presumably nothing to do with Taharos. It's a monetary issue. Anyway, so but the halacha goes like this: Safek b'choros echa b'chor adam echa b'chor behema bein tahorim bein tameim. So I'm motzi mechaver al averayim. Okay, so I have now a suffik b'chor. person, animal, don't matter. Okay? In other words, it goes to the Kohen. Now, when it comes to Bechor Adam, so you don't give the baby over to a Kohen, you're Poda. But we're going to focus right now on the Bechor Behema. Suffolk. How could it be a Suffolk? Meaning we don't know it's the firstborn? Yeah, that's right. We don't know. The animal had a stillborn before, a miscarriage before. We don't know if the one before qualified, didn't qualify. It can happen. Where now that this animal that's born is a Suffolk Bechor. Okay, now, this Suffolk Bechor, so the Mishnah Torah tells us, Amotzi Mechaveh Olav Araya. Who is the owner of that? Is it going to be you or is it going to be the Kohen? Whoever currently is holding it right now. Okay? And Vitzini Allah, Asurim Begiza Vavoda. And on this, the Brisa says that in its current state right now, it's also Begiza Vavoda. Okay. Now, follow carefully over here. This part is the tricky part of our daf today. Okay, this is really tricky. You got to really zoom in. And I know this is hard. But, right, but really, really focus. And that is the following. That is that right now, currently, and this is the way Rashi's presenting it, I am right now going through Rashi without reading Rashi. Again, that's generally speaking what I do. So the way it's working right now is the following, and that is, Hamotzi Mechaveh Olav Araya. Who's ever holding it right now gets to keep it. Which means that if the Kohen were to take it, he'd keep it. Hamotzi Mechaveh Olav Araya. Now, it's a Suffolk. We don't know if it belongs to the Kohen right now. This animal currently is in dispute. Okay, good. And the Braisa teaches us that it's Asa Begiza Vavoda. I can't work it, I can't shear it. Meaning it has Kedusha. Watch. The Kohen could grab it, and because he could grab it, therefore it has Kedushas Bechor. See that? So in other words, this is now going to be similar to our case over here. In other words, of these two disputants over the bathhouse, so I could grab it from you, therefore I have the right to be Makdash it. Okay? That's how we get from point A to point B. So Vahahacha... Vahahacha, good. You don't like the analogy. Vahahacha, the Gemara is not going to like it either. Vahacha, the Amar Takfa Kohen, Emotzino Somiyadu, Dictani Motzi Mechaveh Olav Araya, Vechilo Sakfa Asurin, Begiza Vavoda. And the Gemara just, right, I said all this, but the Gemara just articulated exactly that point. By virtue of the fact that the Kohen could grab it, and if he does, it becomes his. So even before he does so, nevertheless, it's still going to be also Begiza Vavoda. Same, right? So I'm a rabbi, Kedushas Bechor. Wait, just one second. Well, we're almost there. Let the Gemara work it through. So I'm a rabbi, Kedushas Bechor Kamart, La'olam Emelcha Takfu Kohen Motzino Somiyado. So Ve'afilu Hachi, Asurim Begiza Vavoda, Kedushas Abba Me'ela Hashani. So the Gemara says, I don't like the analysis. I think it's bad analysis. Okay. Over here, here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that the Kohen grabs it. We go over to the Kohen. We say, give that back to me. In other words, the Kohen grabbing it is not going to allow it to be his. We don't know if it belongs to the Kohen. It's a Suffolk Bechor. And we all know the rule. Hamotz Mechaver Olav Araya. This animal was born in my flock. Kohen now comes and takes it. If it's an actual Bechor, obviously, now, by the way, I have to gift it to him. In other words, he can't just take it. But notwithstanding, and I gloss over that point, by the way, recognizing it's not a point to gloss over, but I don't care. Right, for our purposes right now, I'm just looking at the main point of the Gemara. If it's a Suffolk Bechor, the Kohen can't just simply come and take it. It's mine. Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. You're trying to take it from me? No, the burden of proof is on you. So if the Kohen comes and takes it from me, I go back to the Kohen and I say, it's rightfully mine. Thank you very much. Good. And yet, it's going to be Aser Begiza. Wait just one second. Your question's excellent. Just wait one second. So, but yet it could be Asa Begiza Vavoda. It is going to be Asa Begiza Vavoda. Because, in other words, when we're looking at halacha, we have to separate. There is a section of halacha called Choshe Mishpat, and there's a section of halacha, now it happens to be in Shulchan Aruch, it's called Isser Veheter, but over here, let's call it Isser Veheter. Meaning, from a Choshe Mishpat standpoint, the Kohen cannot take it. In other words, we have monetary law. And possession determines ownership. Amotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. We've gone over this point time and again. It is one of the most fundamental rules. So the Kohen can't come and take it. That's a Choshe Mishpat halacha. Good. Now let's turn to Isser Veheter. Now in Isser Veheter, now it's mine, but it may be a Bechor. Oh. So now from an Isser Veheter standpoint, So now, can I shear it? All right, can I work it? No, it might be a bechor. So there are two separate sections of halacha, each treated differently. So it has nothing to do with, well, the kohen may grab it, the kohen may take it, therefore it's also begizah v'avoda. No, wrong. The kohen can't grab it, the kohen can't take it. But that's choshe mishpat. Now when it comes to esav heter, now it's mine. But it may be a bechor. Therefore, I can't do gizah v'avoda with it. Now, okay, good.
I could give it to any kohen I want.
Right.
Who says this?
Right. Correct. Okay, good. So Rav Chaim points that over here, and I'm going to acknowledge, but recognize that this is beyond the scope of our daf, but in other words, which Kohen now can come and claim, hey, it's mine. Nice. Meaning, right. In other words, I have to gift it, and I have the right to choose which Kohen it belongs to. Mm-hmm. It's an important point, by the way, but just in terms of walking away from this sugya, with the basic idea of what the Gemara is trying to communicate, this is not a good model. Mm-hmm. Meaning we're trying to ascertain, if I grab something, so does that mean now that I can be makdish it? If I grabbed it, it belongs to me, can I now be makdish it? Is being makdish tantamount to tkifa? That's the Gemara's question. This case of Bechor, we thought it was analogous. The Gemara says it's not analogous. It's not. Because the Kohen has no right to take it. Why? Because Choshe Mishpat, Hamotzi Mechaver Ola Varaya. Meaning, by the way, if you want to just look at it, just not differently, but if I could just say it a little bit differently. When we originally presented the Mishnah in Taharos, and we said that, you know, Hamotzi Mechaver Ola Varaya, we thought that was going both on the owner and on the Kohen. That's what we thought. Again, Rashi, what I'm saying is just Rashi. What we concluded is that's wrong. Meaning, when the Mishnah said Hamotzi Mechaver Ola Varaya, we were only speaking on behalf of one person, and that's the owner. Because it's his. And the Kohen's only right to take it is because it's a Bechor, but we don't know if it's a Bechor. Suffolk Bechor. That's why the Kohen can't take it. It's also Begizah V'Avoda. That's Issur V'Heter. That's a separate sugya altogether. Okay, good.
Didn't we learn in Bava Kamma, though, when there was two partners, they both had to agree in order to make it Hagdish?
Right, correct. But over here, though, in other words, this is...
But these are not partners.
These are not partners yet. Correct.
There's a dispute.
I hear you. This is not a partnership over here. Yeah, in other words, this is...
Both have possession.
Good. Both have claims for possession. It's not a partnership. I hear you. And by the way, your memory is excellent. You're correct. By partnerships, I can't be makdishit without my partner. 100%. Over here, it's not a partnership. It's two people disputing an item.
I don't know who it is.
Okay, good. What are we going to do over here? I'm looking at the time. We're going to pause. We'll put a pause over here. We do have one more point over here, and it happens to be also going to be a little bit complicated, but in other words, we got through most of it. Okay, in other words, talk for Cohen. What happens when the Cohen grabs it? Does it become his? So right now, the answer is, it's a complicated sugya, but the answer is very simple. No. It doesn't become his. Okay, good. And now the analogy to the bathhouse, which is under dispute in terms of who the owner is, and one of them is makdishit. Can he be makdishit? Right now, the answer seems to be no. No, he can't be makdishit. In other words, it's under dispute. And if he were to grab it and it becomes his, now if he's makdishit, does it have kedusha? Unclear yet from the Gemara at this point.